Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic words seasoned just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, channelizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Y'all, tonight, y'all are going to hear me singing my words tonight because we have an artist on the line tonight, y'all. And y'all know I think I can sing, and I know I can't, but I know the artist that we have on tonight, she will tell me the truth, and she probably won't tell me to sing my little heart. I'll just sing my words. But welcome to the LSO Treat Show, and happy Women's History Monday evening. Get ready. We're going to have an amazing 2 hours. We have a young lady on that is going to blow your mind with the Q&A that we're about to have. I hope you started your day with a smile. And if you didn't, we're going to send you some love, positive energy this evening, and you will sure to end with one. So, and I'm going to thank you now for hanging out with me and our special guest. But y'all want to know who me is, right? I'm glad to ask. Me is LSO, the founder and owner of Treats and Things LLC, and living in the passion of LSO! Exclamation point. I am an HBCU undergraduate and a master's summa cum laude graduate, and that's just some of the backbone of my educational hashtag my LSO journey. I am Brooklyn's very own LSO, an author of 3 self-published erotic books and 1 inspirational book, with so much more coming to LSO and the brand. And let's not forget the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. Damn, yes! LSO got a talk show. LSO combines fantasy, fiction, and confessions of someone's story. Would that be you? Just raising your slightly. Go ahead. I can't see you, but I know you know I see you anyway. The creative diversity in the writing captures you with the intent of helping you to relate and or reminisce in your fantasy, truth, or a combination of both, and escape the pleasures beyond your imagination, introducing you to your outside-of-the-box experiences in total liberty and being your authentic self. Here is where your fantasies become your reality without judgment. The erotic books are recipes that add the spice for intimacy, romance, getting to know yourself, and any of your sexual desires, allowing you to express your sensuality in the words of the words into your life. The freedom, freeing yourself to enjoy your fantasies and your alter ego. Learn your body, your likes, your dislikes, asking how it makes you feel. It's all fiction until you make it real. The inspiration book is to dig deeper into self and be your best organically. You deserve your happiness and to be happy and successful. LSO was told to do big things, and hashtag I am holding to that statement. I am comprised of many talents with the masters of all without any regrets. I so enjoy what I do. If I think it, it can be done. Speaking life into self is an affirmation that yes, I can, and yes, I will. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. Are you ready for tonight's show? If not, it's time to get ready, ladies and gentlemen. This evening's topic is Amani, getting back to my purpose! Note, these are our personal and or research opinions, so get ready to call in and confess your research. Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and a no-judgment zone where your confessions and research are welcomed. Transparency at its best. So call in with your questions, and remember, spanking, it just may be necessary. But don't worry, LSO will have paddles and whips in her collection, so you're good. Tonight, we have a very, very special guest that I told you all about earlier when I first started the show. We want to welcome Amani back to the LSO Treat Show. AMVNI, which is Amani, is a genre blending artist born of an unknown planet, Planet X. Her style is a fusion of experimental R&B, soul, jazz, and rock with a sad edge. Her family left Planet X in the 90s and moved to Louisiana. Her love for Southern hip-hop influences her sound with heavy bass and robust drums. Amani's hypnotizing voice style ranges from soft and angelic to gritty and diabolical. Ooh. She credits her lively stage presence, which includes vignettes of inspiration, to being brought up in a small Southern church. On her album, The 11th Hour, Amani converses with her late grandmother, Grammy, as they explore themes of love, loss, and heartbreak. Ladies and gentlemen, my lovey-lovey, I introduce to you Amani. Hey, Amani, where you at?
Hello, y'all.
Amani.
Hello.
Hello.
I haven't been here like 2 years, y'all. Time to catch up.
Ooh, yes, we have a lot of days to catch up, because I know you've been busy just trying to get you on the show again. Like, listen, where you been? What's going on? What you doing?
Right. And then the other thing is, too, I want to come back with something. You know what I mean? Come back with something meaty.
Always something. I don't care if you came back on next week, it still will be something, because you evolved from this week to next week. So it may always be what it is you want or where you think you should be at that moment, but you where you need to be in that moment. So stop it.
That is so true. That's so true. And I'm learning that.
I know you see me giving you the stink face, because I know you know what that stink face looks like.
I see it. I see it on that pretty face with likely colored hair with a fresh haircut.
Yes. That's his eye. Well, I know you had something just recently. I think it was last weekend. Of course, I couldn't go. And you have something this weekend coming up, too. And, of course, I can't go. I mean, our schedules, I think when you're doing something, I think we need to discuss our schedule so I can be a part of your movement and what it is that you're doing, because I so enjoy seeing you in your work environment. It's totally different than seeing you in a friendly environment.
So
talk to me about what happened. Wasn't it that something happened this weekend right here or last weekend?
It was last Monday. So last Monday, I had my my 11th hour concert release experience. I'm still trying to process exactly what happened. I'm sure we'll like get into the details later. But I just really wanted to challenge what a concert experience could be. And so that was one of the goals of this experience, was to challenge what a concert could be. And I felt like I wanted to make it interactive. So we had a lot of different interactive pieces throughout the concert experience. But the main theme of the experience was vulnerability. So there was a lot of sharing. I was able to share. The audience was able to share. It was a place for healing and love and warmth and acceptance and love. Love again.
Yes.
And
listen,
so that's
listen,
what
we need it. We need it.
We do. And now's the time I'm felt driven to focus on bringing people together and community, just because I felt like for the past the past 8 or 9 years or so, it has felt for me like there has been this really strong push for a divide between people. It doesn't matter, like race, color, you know, sex. Race and color is the same thing.
Don't worry.
Not really,
okay.
but no, it, Y'all know what I'm saying out there. But it felt like it's just been this really big push to for people to be separate. It feels like it's been a really big push for people to be yelling and talking at each other and not necessarily having conversations with each other and trying to come to a resolve. And I just don't like the way that feels. Like, I've always been, my mom will tell you, I've always been a peacemaker. And so, like, always wanted to see people come together and people get along and stuff like that. And so for me, I know my focus has been, I just want to create a space where people can really be vulnerable and really feel that warmth and really feel that love right now, where it doesn't really feel like that in the outside world for the majority.
Well, I can agree with you on that, because people have been separated for many, many years. And then there's separation within the separation. And it's lifing in this particular world. Lifing tends to condone that, and it make it very accepting. And so people become boxed in and then become complacent in that box and don't know that take the lid off and step outside of the box and see what's on the outside of the box.
Absolutely.
So, you know, lichen has really caused a lot of that. And I think every traumatic incident that happens in this world, it caused more and more of a divide. For instance, 9/11 happened. 9/11 divided people.
Yep.
Then here comes this pandemic, where everyone is now stuck in a space. And now they're realizing the people who they thought they knew, they never really knew, because now they're with them all the time. And then because we were forced to stay amongst the in your household, amongst the people in your household, it caused people not to interact anymore. So now computers and electronics become the way of life for people. And now everyone is boxed in right there. You know, if they want to see someone or talk to someone, they FaceTiming or video chatting or they're texting or they're on a Zoom. So now everyone, again, is in a space. So your point is well perceived, because it's happening all over every day. And I believe your music can bring people out of that space and begin to venture and, you know, come into the world and be a part of the living.
Right.
And I purposely didn't listen to any of your music because I wanted to hear it first on the show tonight. So I purposely did not.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
this is
going to
be an experience for you then.
Yes, yes, yes. So,
oh, you have no idea.
The music that you did submit, you submitted two new songs, and I have two of your other songs I play all the time. So the two new songs that I will be playing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from off of the album, is going to be an experience for me as well as, I mean, you know, Imani, she knows it because this is her stuff, but it's different when you see people appreciate your work. So
yeah, in real time.
You'll get to hear that from me tonight. So I'm excited, very, very excited to hear the new songs.
Yay.
So, you know how we do it on a show. You know, tell the listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, what you like to do, what's your favorite food, whatever. Give them some little insight into your world.
Just insight into my world. So my name is Imani. Imani means faith. The A in Imani, I use a V, supposed to be like an inverted A, but you'll see that. if you're listening to the broadcast, you'll see the spelling there. And I'm from Louisiana. I grew up in Louisiana. And so I'm a Southern girl. And think about things. I almost feel like I'm on a date right now. Like, I'm a foodie, so I like to eat. So if y'all want to take me out to eat, you know, take me out to eat. I love eating. I love food. I do, y'all. You have no idea. And let me tell y'all something so funny. I found that people have an issue with people from Louisiana because we are food snobs. Like, we're food snobs. Like, I'm finding out as I travel that people understand this about us. Like, I was in Seattle, and I went somewhere, and I was like, okay, this is supposed to be the soul food spot. Like, let me check it out, you know? And I was, like, asking them questions. So I remember I was asking one of the waitresses. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm from Louisiana. I see y'all got gumbo on the menu. I see y'all got this on the menu. And she's like, oh, yeah, one of our chefs is from Louisiana. I said, no way. I'm like, you're kidding. And she's like, yeah. So the guy comes up, and he's talking to me. I'm like, where are you from? He's all like, is it something like, his family's from Arkansas, but he never been to Arkansas. He's actually from Cali. And I was like, hold up. So where's the person that's from Louisiana? So now y'all lying to me. So now I'm like, I'm really questioning this food on this menu that y'all claim is a Louisiana cuisine now. Now I'm questioning it really, really hard. I was questioning it before. I'm questioning it now. So we have our little conversation, and then it was crazy. And then the waitress comes back up, and she's trying to, you know, tell me what is good. I'm like, because I'm picky a little bit. You know, I'm not picky, and I'm picky at the same time. It's like if I'm going somewhere to eat something and this is a particular area's cuisine, I'm not going to be picky because I'm going to go into it like, wow, I'm interested. I want to know your flavors. Like, I really want to see what's going on here. I feel like the food lets me know what type of area I'm in. You know what I mean? It really just helps me understand what's happening here. So, nevertheless, she comes back to the table, and so she realizes that I can't make a decision, and she just calls me out, and she was like, yeah, because y'all people from Louisiana, y'all expect everything to taste like y'all auntie and y'all grandma made it. I said, that's true.
Well, I mean, that would be like, anybody, so not just people from Louisiana. Your taste buds is looking for a certain taste. And if you're telling me you have a Louisiana or a Creole meal, my taste buds automatically going to take me to Louisiana, and I know my taste buds is getting excited like, okay, you're going to feel like you home and you're here in wherever you are.
Right. Lying to myself, knowing good and damn well. Because even in Texas, if I try to get Louisiana food in Texas, in certain spots, I might do okay in Houston. No, there was this one spot in Houston where the people really were from Louisiana and all the flavors were on point, but it's not open anymore. But, like, some parts in Texas, they would claim that it's Louisiana food, and I'm like, these red beans don't taste right. Like, y'all putting some other stuff in here that don't belong. Like, it's rough out here. It's rough out here.
They're just dumping stuff in the gumbo.
But what?
They said they just dumping stuff in the gumbo.
Yeah. Lord, yeah. Like, people, I got so desperate one time, y'all, that I was like, my family had to check on me, but I went somewhere and they were like, oh, it's gumbo or whatever. And I went and I was like, well, let me try it out because y'all claim that y'all got this recipe from New Orleans. Like, y'all chef really had went down there and studied under somebody from New Orleans. So I'm like, let me check it out. And I tried it and it was like a light color. And, you know, gumbo not supposed to be light. It's supposed to be like a darker color. It's supposed to be thicker. Right. And, you know, and I was suffering, but it kind of tasted good to me. And whenever I posted the video of the gumbo, literally my family was reaching out to me like, is everything okay? You know that ain't no damn gumbo? and you acting like it's good. Something must be wrong. And to be fair, at that time, I was kind of sad. So my palate wasn't working like it was supposed to, but, yeah, I was desperate, y'all. So all that to say, I'm a foodie. If that makes sense.
And
that
meanwhile, you just as slim and beautiful as you want to be. Mia, if I put on food like how you are with a foodie, it would stick to my hips so fast and take forever to get off. I have family that's in Louisiana, and of course, I don't.
Ooh, where?
I don't know the exact location, but I do know there's a canal in front of my cousin's house. I don't know what the canal is called, but I know when Katrina came, that canal got flooded that was in front of the house. But it's so amazing because the water came from where the casino was. The water came over there.
Oh, so they're in New Orleans then?
Yeah, they're in New Orleans.
Okay. Oh, wow.
In New Orleans, Louisiana. Park.
Have you visited New Orleans?
I've been there. I haven't been there in about 5 years, but I used to go every year. Of course,
so you know what that food is like.
Yeah. So, but only thing I ate, I would go to another cousin's house, and she would make po' boys. So I would get
the shrimp po' boys.
Like, put the stuff on it, and I'm like, no, I don't do all of that stuff. I just want the bread and the shrimp. So as she's frying the shrimp, I'm taking the shrimp and piling my sandwich. But that's all I wanted was the shrimp and the bread. And then I love Popeyes. The Popeyes in Louisiana is totally different from here in New York City. It is. It's nothing comparable to those two Popeyes. So you are.
You know what's crazy?
The taste of the food.
We had a Popeyes on our campus, on our college campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they definitely was getting my dollars. Like there was like we've had food plans, so you could have a certain amount of money that we would use in. I forgot what we called that area. Like there's like the typical everyday food, and then there's like the other like fast food where you can get like Popeyes or Burger King or all these other things like that. But yeah, Popeyes took all my money because I used to be up in that spot, and they had. I love Popeyes. They had this like really messy, like cinnamon pie where all the sugar just falls all over your clothes. Like, I love that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
See? Y'all see the foodie? So, the way
you
her
see,
heart
I won't stop. Y'all won't get no other information out of me.
It's through food. Give her food. She got
Give
you.
Give me food.
Well, what is, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I was looking through the site. And you made a comment off with purpose. So I said, that's going to be one of the questions I ask. What is your purpose? Or what do you believe your purpose is?
It's my purpose. So my purpose is two things. The first thing is making sure that people know that they are not alone in what they're feeling. A big reason, and I probably said this on the show before, but a big reason why I make music is because I remember there were times where I felt like I just could not express myself. You know, I said this at my concert experience. I spoke about my mom. My mom was in the military. I had two brothers. So, like, I think it was hard for my mom to turn on and off, like, emotions and things like that because I don't think she really had the space to be able to really just feel emotions. And come to find out, it kind of was a family thing for us to not really express how we felt. I come from a family full of sensitive people, but it was kind of just in our family culture to not say how we felt and not express how we felt and to like tuck everything and kind of be stoic when it comes to our feelings. And so being that I was like super sensitive, I felt like I didn't have a place to go where I could cry. I felt very weak if I cried. I felt like I wasn't supposed to cry. And so when I would listen to music, I would hear the stories and I would relate to the stories and I felt like I wasn't alone. And then I could cry like in a room by myself, but I didn't feel alone because this music was speaking to me and made me feel like I had a friend. And so big reason why I make music is for the same reason. It's I'm just going to express how I feel. I'm going to say exactly how I feel. I'm going to be as raw as I can. And I'm going to put this out there. And hopefully someone who is listening knows that, like, I'm telling a story that's something that they're going through, too, and they can feel like they're not by themselves. So that's a big reason why I make music is and create is so people don't feel like they're alone. And then the second purpose, a part of my other purpose, is to let people know that they can do anything at any age. You can learn anything at any time. You know, like I didn't learn how to sing until I was in my 20s, you know, and I didn't start learning how to make music until around that time. And so when I first started, my music was really bad. My voice wasn't good. And, you know, I sucked. And I want people to know that it's okay to suck at something. Like, it's okay to, like, when you first start out, not be good. But if your heart is in it and you felt called to do this thing, then just stick to it and keep going and keep trying and being diligent and being consistent about the efforts in your work. And take classes. Like, look on YouTube. There's a million ways that you can learn how to do the thing that you want to do. It's just a matter of deciding you're going to do it and going and doing it. Like I'm 36, I'll be 37 in May. And I just put out my first project. And whenever I put out my first single, I think I was like 33, you know? And so, but my music is, it's amazing. And you would think like, if you listen to my music and you heard my music and you saw my videos, you would think like, this is just something that's just like came naturally to me, how good it is, but it's not. It's something that I had to work very, very hard to learn. And I want my work to be a testament of you can get better. You can be really bad at something and then you can get good. And so it's never too late to go for your dreams. And that's another part of my purpose.
Okay. Now, did you get a singing coach? Well, let me backtrack. Could you always sing, but you just need some training of the voice in your singing, or you did not know how to sing at all and you got a coach to help you learn how to sing?
I think everybody knows how to sing. It's just a matter of like singing good.
I'm on that part, the singing good part.
Anybody can sing, but it wasn't good. You know, I still battle sometimes with like, you know, being off key sometimes, like if I'm being real about it, you know, I do still like, you know, have to work on that and everything. But I couldn't sing good. Like I couldn't hear the notes right. Like I was making sound, but it wasn't nothing that nobody was really trying to hear. So what happened is I was a theater major and I was taking vocal lessons on the side because I was too scared to really admit I wanted to do music still. So how I kind of got started in that was through taking voice lessons on the side and like working on my voice and until it got to a okay enough place. And then I was just kind of in between a rock and a hard place because they were getting rid of the theater program. So I was like, well, I guess I got to do something. And so the music department actually needed numbers because they were on the brink of getting rid of the music department too. So I just ended up changing my major to music, and it was the most invigorating thing I ever did. And it was also the kind of the scariest thing I ever did, but I felt so free once I actually made the decision to say, okay, I'm doing it. I'm going to actually pursue my goal. I'm going to actually pursue my dream. And it was hard because other people, they had been doing this for a long time, and like a lot of people had been doing this their whole life. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to try this thing now. You know, I did everything late. Like, I went to college through, huh?
I said, that's going to be me, watch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, why not?
Okay,
you know what I mean? Why not? Why not?
Well, I could say I want to go to a voice coach. But
I have an amazing voice coach.
I cannot sing.
I have
at
an
all.
Amazing.
So I don't know where to start.
I have an. I can tell you where to start. I have an amazing voice coach. Her name is Star Busby. Okay, this woman is incredible. And anybody who, anytime I see anybody who even mentions saying they want to take a voice lesson, I'm like, go to her. Because what she teaches, first of all, her voice is beautiful. When I first saw her sing, I was at this jam session called Producer Mondays. And she was up there singing. And she just had so much control over her voice. I just got her information because I was like, I can almost guarantee you she teaches voice. Like, I could just tell by how much control she had over her voice and how she was using her voice and how she was, like, singing with so much power, but I could tell that she wasn't damaging her voice. I was like, oh, this woman, oh, she teaches voice. Like, I just knew it. And sure enough, I went and stalked her page, went to her website, and I saw it. I was like, oh, she's a voice teacher. She's a voice teacher, too, but she's also a very amazing, like, artist, right? So I reached out to her, and I was like, hey, can I take voice lessons with you? And the way that she teaches you the technique, but then she goes even deeper with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the technique she's teaching you, because anybody can learn notes, but there's like another level of singing that you get into, and she unpacks all of that and creates a safe space. And like also the way she teaches it, She will show you parts of your voice that you did not know existed. And you will be like, I made that sound. And if you record yourself, which you should do when you go to your voice lessons, you would listen back to the way your voice sounds when she helps you make the adjustments. And you'll be like, I didn't even know I could sound like that. That's what she does. So if you want to take voice lessons, y'all let me know. she's a miracle worker.
She's a miracle.
See what?
She's doing miracles.
Oh, no, seriously. No, this woman is like a, I would say she's like, she is a miracle worker, actually. Like, all jokes aside. she actually is. So y'all look her up on Instagram.
S-T-A-R-R. I just want to sing for me and hear tunes that is decent to the ear. Not saying
you
I
know
want to
what?
Go out and record a song. I just want to sound good for me when I sing, and people don't tell me to be quiet.
But you know what's crazy, though, too? Something I learned about, because the thing is, like, you'll learn these techniques, but then you're learning what your voice sounds like and what your voice can do, because it changes. Like, the more you learn, the more you find out what your voice can do. And it's, to me, being a singer is one of the most vulnerable things, because this sound is coming directly from you. It's not coming from like an instrument that is like not quite you. It's like you. And so you have to be so vulnerable. And so when you are learning voice, it's like, or learning how to sing and whatnot, and learning how your voice works, it's like you're learning how to love yourself in a new way. It's very interesting.
I like the way you phrase that. I like the way you phrase that. So that's something I'm going to look into. So with that, what does it truly mean to be driven by your purpose? Now that you know what your purpose is and what your bound to do, what does it truly mean to be driven by?
So it's literally like you're, if we like created like an analogy for it or a metaphor and whatnot, like if you were to personify whatever your purpose is. So if I say my purpose is to ensure that everyone knows that no matter how old you are, you can achieve a dream. every decision that I make is rooted in that. So, for example, last year I turned 36, right? And for the longest, nobody knew how old I was, not because I lied about my age. I just never revealed my age. And I felt, like, shame about being 36, you know, because I was like, oh, people are going to think I'm too old. They're going to think I'm washed. Like, I don't want people to know. But everybody thinks I'm, like, 28, 29, 80. So let's just keep it there, you know. And then it occurred to me, it's like, well, if your whole purpose is for people to know that at any age they can achieve a dream, don't you think it's important for them to know that you're 36? Isn't that like something that, you know what I mean? Exactly. And so, you know, I use my birthday to, like, I like to take bathing suit pictures on my birthday. It's like an accountability thing for me. So when my birthday came up with the lime green bathing suit, electric green bathing suit on, thong bathing suit on, I took my pictures and I was like, yeah, I'm 36, y'all. I was like, yo, I felt so much freedom when I finally did that, because I was hiding. I was hiding who I was, and I didn't like that. And when I finally was like, yo, I'm 36, it is what it is. Either you like my music or you don't. If my age plays a part in whether you want to support me or like my music, then my music's not for you. So be blessed. But I need to, like, love on myself and embrace exactly who I am and be like, I'm 36. I'm grown. I'm finna be 40 soon. Like, and this is what it is, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I will have no shame about living, you know? I will have no shame about living, because what is the alternative of getting older? Death. What is that?
Well, I say, as you should not. What about all the people who didn't make it to 36, to 35, to 22?
Precisely. And I know a lot of people who die young. So it's like, how dare I have any shame about life, you know? And so that's an example of me saying my purpose is this thing, and so therefore I have to make a certain decision, even if it makes me uncomfortable, to do this thing anyway. So another example of that is like with the 11th hour is all about vulnerability and making sure people didn't feel like they were alone. So a lot of what I did for the 11th hour concert experience was all about vulnerability. So instead of me, like, coming, you know, doing this big reveal and coming from behind the curtain and people clapping for me when I come out, I didn't do that. I sat on stage while people came in and I greeted them and I hugged them. And then I asked them to make sure they set their intentions on this board that I set, where I had already set my intentions. And I asked them to put their intentions, what was their intention of gathering, what did they want to release and what did they want to receive. And at the top of that board, I put mine. And my intention for gathering, as I said, specifically I wanted to be vulnerable and create a safe space for people to express themselves. And I wanted to release my fear of rejection, and I wanted to receive self-love. And that's what I put on the board. And so as people walked in, they had sticky notes and they had to put what their intention for gathering was, what did they want to release and what did they want to receive. So as out the gate, I'm just letting you know, I'm scared to do this. I have a big fear of rejection. I'm trying to learn to love myself. Like, I'm letting you know exactly who I am. And I can't, people can't feel like, if my thing is I don't want people to feel like they're alone, then I have to be honest with how I'm really feeling, instead of pretending like, oh, I got it together. When I sat on stage and I revealed how nervous I was, I didn't go in the back and hide my nerves and try to breathe and try to come out like I was confident. I didn't do none of that. And that was all based in the whole point of me wanting to be vulnerable so that other people did not feel like they were alone. And that's what purpose driven is. It's whatever you say your purpose is, it is your compass. It is really in the driver's seat, and it is deciding where you're going to go. and how you're going to get there. And that's what it means to be purpose-driven.
Wow. So how did you come up with the 11th hour? What made you choose the 11th hour? What is the purpose or the significance in 11? Or even if it has a significance, it may not even have any significance of anything. So how did you come up with the 11th hour?
So, you know, it's funny. And I'm not going to say ironic, but just like some things are like divine intervention. Like you just, God is just like working the whole time with you on things. But I'm saying all that to say, my friend told me this story years ago about how like 11s are associated with like people who've passed and things like that. And at that time, nobody in my family passed. And I was like, and this is like 2011. Oh, wow, that's funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize. That's funny. That's funny. I just realized that he told me this in 2011. That's crazy.
As soon as you said it, I just smiled.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. But that was a trying year for me, by the way. But he told me that, and I was like, oh, I guess. I wasn't really believing it. I was just like, oh, okay, I guess that's cool. Like, you told me that. Cool, whatever. I wasn't going to dismiss it, but it was just like, oh, I'll put it in the back of my head. If something shows up at some point in time, maybe that'll work. Anyways, fast forward to the future. And my grandmother, Grammy, who's featured on the album, she passes. And I would, like, see 11-11 all the time. I would see 1-11 all the time after she passed, like, all the time. And this wasn't even something that I was, like, consciously thinking of at all. And she shows up like that. She has these really interesting ways of showing up, but she always shows up in 11s. And so because of that, I always – not all my music, but a good majority of my music, when I drop my singles, I drop my singles on the 11th because I do it, like, to honor her. Like, I miss her. I miss her. You know, this is my I love you to her, you know, to honor her through 11th. And then I was talking to one of my friends about the 11s, and I was like, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to name my album and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then he's like, why don't you name it the 11th hour? And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. You know? And I was like, that's so good because the recordings that I have of my grandmother, the time where she was recording it was during the last year of her life. And I had no idea because the recordings, the main recordings that I used was before we knew she was sick. And yeah, and she died within a year of the time that I hold on.
It's okay.
That's crazy.
It's okay.
But
sending you hugs.
Thank you. It's crazy because I'm like, I have so many revelations about this album, myself, my family, my relationship with my grandmother as I'm making these songs, as I'm making the videos, as I'm, you know, doing the concert experience. There's so many things that I am constantly learning about myself in this process, and it's sometimes sometimes it is overwhelming because I'm like, it feels so powerful and so spiritual, and it feels like something that I just simply could not come up with on my own. And that's how I know, like, spiritually that I'm getting help from somewhere, because this is just stuff I can't even make up. Like, sometimes I listen to some of my songs and watch my videos back, and I'm like, what? This is crazy. And so, but I say all that to say my grandmother shows up in 11s, and the 11th hour is like the last bit of time that she had to impart all this wisdom into me. So, yeah, that's where the name came from.
So that's
yeah,
a
and
good
it stuck.
One. I think you should do a mm-hmm. song called 111.
111? I wonder what that would be like. You know what's crazy?
Instead of saying 2011, I want you to say 2011, and something significant happened with you during those times. So think about it.
You know what's funny? My first – okay, ahead.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
I was going to say, when I dropped my first single, I dropped it on my website first, and I want to say I put it out on 111. 1/11/2020. It was on my website first, and then I dropped it on streaming platforms maybe a month or so later, maybe something like that. Or maybe I dropped it on 12/11. I can't remember. I have to look at my old posts to see. But yeah, but the thing about it is I don't know how to make songs about things. Like,
have a conversation with yourself and turn it into a song.
So that's the thing. So when I say I don't know how to make songs about things, I mean, like, I can't say I'm making a song about this and make it. I just make however I'm feeling, and then once the song is done, I'm like, okay, well, that's what this song is now. Like, I never say I'm going to make a song about flowers and then sit down and write a song about flowers. Never.
Gotcha.
I might say, like, years or months before making a song, I'm like, oh, I want to make a long song, or I want to make a song that has strings in it at some point, or I want to make a rock and roll song, or I want to make a country song, and then years later it'll manifest, but I don't like decide what it's going to be. I just let it happen, and then I
gotcha.
Help shape it. Yeah.
After it happens. Okay, well, you know,
yeah.
For the listening audience, we're going to play your first two songs that you sent me years ago, and then later on in our next segment, we'll play the two new songs that you shared with me. So, and I'm going to leave us on live as we listen to those. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We will be right back. We're talking to the Amani, and we're about to listen to Roland.
Real shy.
Welcome back. It is us. It is LSO and Nemani. You know, the best
hey,
y'all. I was told I should begin recording. So I'm going to begin soon recording, like, the behind the scenes, because a lot of things happen behind the scenes. Conversations that we don't have on live. And it's not that we can't bring the conversations to live. It's just that we just have other, you know, conversations. So soon I'm going to be recording. So, but the only thing about that with the recording, well, my cousin was like, well, you can pause it during that time and then you can go back. But when I'm behind the scenes, it gives me a moment to drink water, you know, talk with
right.
the artists. You know, it gives me a moment, and it gives me a moment to listen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a key thing, because when you're talking for 2 hours, your mouth gets dry, then your mouth gets
right.
watery, then, you know, so much goes on into that. But needless to say, I, you know, said all of that to come back to say that, you know, we had great conversations behind the scenes. But the next time we take a break, we're going to play the new songs and we're going to stay on live so she can hear my breathing as I listen intently to the new songs. So, you know, as usual, we're going to get all up in Imani business and find out what's going on in her world, because we missed her. It's been like she said, 2 years, and how dare she do that to us. And we follow her, and we listen for, looking for music and all this other stuff, and she won't not come. She know it's a yearly thing. She should be on this show. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Oh, I think I just caught
it. Just go off on me, yes.
No, so has music, and specifically your music, ever saved you? And when I say saved you, it could be from anything. Saved you from drowning, saved you from sorrow, saved you from doing something you know you should not do. So has music ever, and then has your music ever saved you?
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Like I was saying earlier, like I felt like whenever I was younger, I didn't feel like I had people, I didn't feel like I had anybody to talk to. I felt lonely. So because of music, I didn't feel lonely. Because of music, I had a space to cry, to express, to be the person that I was hiding from everyone else. So, yeah, it 1,000% saved me. Who knows where I would be if I didn't have music, and has my own music saved me? Without question. Without
wow.
question. Like, when I made my song Maybe, and when I made the music video for Maybe, I was still grieving. From the time that I wrote the song, recorded the song, made the video, like all these things during that time, it was helping me grieve. And, you know, I say in the song that I lost my two grandmas and I lost my aunt, and I lost them all in 9 months. And I had just moved to New York. And so when I first wrote that song, like I was just going through it, because I don't even know if it had been a year since everybody had passed yet. I don't even think it had been a year yet. So I was just like at the height of my emotions when it came to that, at that moment. And me doing the video and doing the song, it forced me to grieve. And even whenever I did the screening for the music video, I had a grief counselor come out. And I had a grief counselor come and talk to my audience and ask some questions. And people who were in the audience were also able to release and grieve as well. And so, yeah, it's interesting how through me healing myself and me going through the process, like it just creates space for other people to do it as well. But yeah, it saved me. Like, even when, like, and before you let go, I was sad, I was depressed, and, you know, I was heartbroken, and I needed to express these feelings. And sometimes I think the song is, might be about one person, and then I find out and I realize, no, it's about this person. You just weren't ready to accept that yet because it was too painful, you know. And I noticed, like, in my past, I would kind of use people as emotional surrogates, and I didn't know that, where I wasn't quite ready to accept how I was feeling. Yeah, it's crazy. I wasn't quite ready to accept how I was feeling with one person, so I would just throw all my emotions into this new person, because I was so sad still about this other person that I haven't accepted, that I'm very hurt by, and I'm depressed, mm-hmm. and I'm feeling rejected, you know. And so my music allows me to go back and listen to how I'm feeling and be like, oh, wow, this is what was happening at that time. This is how you really felt. This is what was really going on that you weren't quite ready to talk about. Because when I write, I don't write, I freestyle. So that's all my subconscious. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing my subconscious back to me, and I'm like, wow. So yeah, it's a very interesting process in how I make music, but it saves me. The long and short is yes.
Wow, that's deep. But you know what? Music is your outlet. It allows you the space. And, you know, when you were speaking earlier, and I had said music is your friend. Music is your best friend, because music allows you to listen. It allows you to hear. It allows you to feel. It allows you not to feel. What I'm hearing from you, music gives you whatever space you need at whatever moment you need that space. So whatever,
for sure.
Whatever the space is, if the space is you need a hug, music gives you a hug in that moment. If you need to feel love, it gives you that feeling of love, and so on and so forth. So what I hear from you is music is your best friend.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's my best friend. It's my lover. It's my confidant. It's everything. It's my everything, you know.
Right.
Yeah. My therapist.
That right there, and that saves you a little bit of money. So
I'll be still going to therapy though.
with the next question, does music heal? And explain how it heals.
Yeah, like I was just saying, like you know, when I was grieving, it was weird because, like, the first, I would say, 6 months of my grief, like, when my first grandmother died on my dad's side, that was just crazy. That was unexpected. A month and a half or so later, my grandmother died, Grammy, who raised me, helped raise me, and that just sent me into some weird state. And then when my aunt passed, I didn't grieve for myself. The first, like, 6 months, I felt like I would just cry because I felt so bad for my cousins. But I didn't even think about, I couldn't even get to how I felt because I just felt like I couldn't even imagine what they're going through, losing their mom, and that's my aunt, but this is their mom. And so for the first 6 months, I just was like, anytime I thought about them, every time I thought about my aunt, I would just immediately think about them, and I would immediately think about my uncle, and I would just get so sad, just like feeling bad for them that I couldn't feel bad for myself yet. So it took, and then because of that, like, when she passed and my reaction to it is the thing that made me actually sign up for therapy, because I could not accept that she was gone. I just could not. And I would literally, like, I would think about her and then immediately get shocked, like, somebody just told me. And I was like, I got to go to therapy because I felt like I was on the brink of, like, I thought I thought I was about to have like a psychotic break because it would shock me too much. And at that point it had been like probably like 9 months. And I'm like, why am I still not processing this? And so it may have even been more than 9 months. It may have been,
I said, that's because you didn't grieve.
I didn't, exactly. And I could, so I found out that I just couldn't accept it. And so I'm saying all that to say, through having to talk about it through music, it just forced me to heal because it forced me to accept it, because acknowledging that this was even something that's bothering me in the first place made me have to face that it was bothering me. Having to sing something over and over again made me have to accept that this is a real thing. You know, having to go to the studio and sing these things over and over, you know, or the process of me trying to figure the song out. Like, it just forced me to sit with how I actually felt, and it brought me healing. And then there's other songs like Roland that if I'm having a bad day or something and I'm like, I'm really don't know how I'm going to make it through something, I'll listen to Roland because Roland makes me feel like, you got this. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. It's okay if you cry. It's okay if you have a bad day. It's okay if you don't know what you're going to do next. Just keep moving and you'll figure it out. And that gives me like the strength that I need, you know, when I'm feeling weak. So yeah, music heals without question. Yeah.
You know, music has a way of talking to you. Like sometimes now I listen to some songs, and it may be a favorite song or a song that I like. And, you know, when you're in the moment, you're just singing a song and listening to the beat and having a good time. But then when you really decipher what some of these songs are saying,
yeah,
you're like, whoa, I didn't know that. You've been singing it. So until you actually internalize what it's saying, like, for instance, Pull Up to My Bumper, Baby. I never knew what that meant until a couple of years ago. I was like, oh, my gosh. And I'm singing it like, pull up to my bumper, ow. And then the big black limousine. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. These people are telling a story in their song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's how sometimes for me, that's like writing is my friend. Sometimes I'm able to get out whatever it is. And if I'm creating a character or if a character created itself, it'll tend to just come out and I'll just let the pen and the paper just do whatever it is it's doing. I don't stop it from doing what it is it's doing. I don't edit along the lines when I'm doing it. I just write it as it is. And then when I transfer it over, that's when I piece it together and make it make sense in the terms of if it's poetry or if it's a short story or if it's just a saying. You know, so that's why I keep,
I like that.
Excuse me, pen and paper throughout my house, in the kitchen, the bathroom, the living room, the hallway, the bedroom on either side of the bed, so that when I have that thought, I can write it. And a lot of times when I'm on the phone with my cousin and we're talking, and I'll say something, I'll be like, oh, my gosh, text that to me right now. So, you know, I can write that down and elaborate on it more, whether if I want to leave it as a statement or if I want to turn it into a poetry or if I want to use it in a story, whatever I want to use it for. So that is that's my outlet that I use that works for me. Well, it works for me all the time, but most times it does work for me to get me away from whatever it is. And even if it's away from something, it's not necessarily always bad. It could be something good too.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I like that process. It sounds similar to mine. It's like you let your brain just flow freely and not trying to figure out what it is. And then once you're done letting your spirit just spill whatever it is, your emotions spill off into the paper, then you kind of shape it after the fact. And I like that. I think that's such a good process.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about correcting nothing. Just let it go. Let it, I always say, let it have thine away. And then sometimes I get characters in my head, and I'm like, the characters want to come out and play. They're there. And, you know, it's amazing how your mind works. And I always say, if you get in somebody's mind, you have them. Because my mind had, like, so many apps, I call them, so many apps open, and characters talking to each other. Like, you know, one is over here and one is all the way over there, but they're talking to each other and they're trying to get their point across. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to get it out, got to get it out, got to get it out. So I'll get pens in both hands, and I'm just Googling and scribbling and writing and, you know, making it make sense. And then when I look at the stuff, I'm like, oh, this is just cool, you know. But they had to come out.
That
gives them freedom. That gives me a peace of mind, and then I get a story from it. So I understand, you know, when you say that, because it takes you to places. So with that said, let's take you to another place. If your life was a song, what would you title it in this point of time? What would you title your life as a song, and what melody would you put behind it, and why?
Ooh. This part of my life would be called Surrender. The Great Surrender. Okay.
You better write that down. You better write that down. Because you need it.
It would be called The Great Surrender. And then what melody would I put to it? I have no idea. I don't know what it would be, but I think whatever kind of melody it would be, it would be a song that sounds like you're going on a journey. Like maybe similar to like a train ride, where when it first starts, you just kind of hear the little click, 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 and then it starts to get a. And it starts to pick up its pace, and then you hear this horn, you know, you hear like whispers of people just chatter. And then, you know, maybe the windows open and you get to hear, like, just the wind going past the wind. And so we use instrumentation to kind of recreate these sounds. There's this song, I want to say, I can't remember the jazz band. I want to say it's Duke Ellington, who made the song The A-Train. And when you listen to the song, the way that they harmonize the voices, it literally sounds like a train sound. So I would love to use regular sounds and voices to create like this sound of like, it feels like it's traveling into this space, like this unknown. And like some parts of the song, it may be scary. Some parts of it may be peaceful. Some of them may be indifferent, you know. So that would be what my life song would be, The Great Surrender, a very epic song.
That's really, really interesting, because the first thing that came to mind is I wrote a piece to, and I know you're going to feel me when I say this, I Am Light by oh, gosh, what's her name? I see her face. I don't know why Erykah Badu came up, but it's not her. India Irie.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that song, I Am Light? Does that have any relevance to you?
I don't think I know that one.
You should look it up. It's a momentum
song.
Okay,
I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm. And it's called I Am Light, and it's by Indy Irie. And when you hear the song, you're gonna know what exactly it is I'm talking about. I wrote a piece to that song, and it's called I Am Me, I think. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
And when you were saying all of what you were saying, I thought of that piece that I wrote, that it would go so good with that idea of what you just said.
Mm.
Yes, it's the title. That's the title of the poem. It's called I Am Me. And I never recorded it. Well, I'm lying. I recorded it to Indy Irie because I wanted mm-hmm. it particularly for that song. But I never recorded it, just me speaking it. So
I know a guy who works with poets, and his name is Frankie. He's my guitar player, and he's amazing. And he literally, like, he works with this, I forgot this girl's name, but she's a poet, and she's so powerful. And the thing with Frankie is, like, y'all go follow Frankie.Payne on Instagram. But the thing with, and Payne spelled P-A-Y-N-E, Frankie, FRANKY.PAYNE, Frankie.Payne. Y'all follow him on Instagram because Frankie, he is so talented and so professional, mm-hmm. but he really, when he's working with you, likes to understand what story you're trying to tell.
Right.
It really takes his time. And, you know, like, some people, they just want to make some money and they don't care, and they're just like, whatever, I'll play. He's not like that at all. He really takes in the story that you tell him, and then he translates that in how he plays guitar. So if there's ever a time mm-hmm. where you want to take this poem or anything, you got to work with Frankie because he's going to help you tell that story.
Mm. So how many times have you worked with him, or he's your guitarist when you're working?
Both. So I met Frankie at a jam session, and he's so chill. And then, like, when I first met him, he seemed just very quiet and reserved. And then, like, once mm-hmm. I worked with him the first time, like, I came over and I worked with him, he has all this personality. He's really funny and fun. But all that to say, when we first started working, we worked on the song I have called Evil Ways, but we started the song and we didn't finish it. I put the song down and I made Make Love. And then I said, oh, I wanted to add more to some of my songs, like more instrumentation. Like Roland has a live saxophone on it, and I wanted to add instrumentation to Make Love. So he's the one that's playing guitar. He's the one who does that crazy guitar solo on that song. So that's Frankie. Mm-hmm. And then the song Evil Ways, I brought him a sample, and then I was like, hey, I want to replay this because I don't want to be dealing with, like, sample clearances and all that and yada. And I think it would be cooler as a live song as opposed to a sample.
Right.
And he's playing on Evil Ways, so he helped produce Evil Ways. He produced the majority of Evil Ways. And then there's this song called Do the Impossible, and I brought him some – I have myself playing some keys, and I'm like, hey, can you hear what I'm doing here? Can you just replay this on guitar? Because I feel like I was trying to, like, make it sound like a guitar using this app, like a music app,
okay.
where you can, like, use plugins and you can take it's too much music stuff. Anyways, long story short, I let him hear what I was doing, and he took that and turned it into a full song. I've worked with Frankie mm-hmm. on three of the songs on the album, and anytime I ever perform, he is performing with me. But he's, like, he's talented. He has his own, like, he's in another band. He's in a band called Afro Dominicana. and they're big and they're like doing their thing. And then he's also in a rock band. Like, so he has his own things going on, but he'll like come and work with me on my stuff too. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And wow.
Yeah.
So right now what we're going to do, we're going to stay on live as I play one of your newer songs on the 11th hour. We're going to play Do the Impossible. And then we're going to play, I don't know if I'm saying it right, the, what is it, 333?
Oh, I think you is should do one? Evil Ways first and then close with Do the Impossible.
So I should do, okay, so let me do.
Yeah, energetically, we should end on Do the Impossible. We shouldn't end on Evil Ways.
Okay.
It's late.
I'm just saying, I don't know what I'm getting into. I'm walking into this blind. This is my first time hearing it, and we're going to stay on live. And if you feel you need to sing while it's happening, you can make it happen. This is all about you. So, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Evil Ways, Final Ways by Imani. Before we play the next song, tell us about this song.
I was living in Hot Mess Central at the time.
What happened?
So, I was living in Hot Mess Central at the time. I was like literally at my most toxic. When I first wrote the song, like I said, when I first wrote the song, I was high and I was drunk. And this was like in 2015 or something. And then once I remade the song, and I had Frankie come in and play it, I was actually like, it was right before me and my ex-fiance broke up. And I was, again, like I went, I remember going to the studio and us recording it and him doing this crazy solo. And it sounded much different at that time because this song has taken a long time to make. I put this song down and there were years in between me picking it back up. I guess because it was like about my most like toxic like self. And when I got back from the studio, me and my then fiance, we were like not, we hadn't even been talking. We've never gotten to an argument to where we weren't talking to each other. Like while we lived together, we would might maybe be upset, but we weren't even talking. This was like a new level. And I remember coming home after doing the song, and I was like, yo, what you trying to do? Like, because what we ain't talking, like, what's up? And he, and then we broke up. So then I put the song down again because I need to get my life together because I moved out, and now I'm living in New York by myself, so I put the song down again. And then picked the song back up. This is 2019. So the first time I made the song was like 2015, 2016, and then I try to make the live version of it in 2019, put the song down again because of the breakup. And then I picked the song back up and fall 2022.
Okay.
And again, I'm at my most toxic self. Like I stopped going to therapy because I didn't want any accountability. And I just maxed out on being a hot mess. I just maxed out on it. And while I was maxing out on being a hot mess, and like by hot mess, I mean like emotionally, I just, there was no emotional intelligence at all. Like I was just the person I was being with the people that I were kind of, I was like dating at the time. Like I would like talk to them and then I would tell them I don't want to talk to them anymore and cut them off completely. And then I would, like, unblock them and be like, but I miss you. And then I would cut them off again. Like, I was just so, yeah. And it wasn't even, like, I wasn't doing this because I didn't care. But I was just, there was just so much emotional unrest with me internally that I was, like, taking them on this roller coaster with me. And looking back, it was super, super selfish, and I do want to apologize. But also, I felt validated in my experience because they hurt my feelings. So you hurt my feelings. Yeah. It was my get back. It was like, well, you hurt my feelings. I have the right to walk out of your life and walk back in whenever I feel like it. And then I didn't realize that's what I was doing until I heard the same thing twice by two different people. And they were like, you don't get to just walk out and walk in when you feel like it. And I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, that is what I'm doing. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to make you feel like I can walk in and out of your life because, you know, I do miss you.
The truth is, it really does exist. It's just, it's existing in this moment, and then it's not existing in the next moment. Ta-da, see how that works?
Exactly. And so it's like that. But then, like, all this time, I'm, like, realizing, like, I just miss my ex. Like, I'm not realizing that I just miss my ex. Like, this is my best friend. And I really hadn't resolved all my feelings with that situation, too.
Right.
It was just, like, so many emotions. And that's why it sounds like pure chaos. It sounds like organized chaos. Shout out to Kat.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds good.
I like
it.
But you fail to realize when you mess with an artist, regardless of what their artistry is, you can become their character, and they can make you do whatever it is they want you to do because they're the creator of it. So don't mess with an artist. with you, because you're an artist, you can sing about it, and in your song or your songs, you can do whatever you want. And make the characters say what you want them to hear, or you get to say the things that you forgot to say when they said what it was they said. I can create a character and make them do whatever it is I want, and they can be my puppet. So listen, people, all y'all listening out there, be mindful when you mess with an artist, because they'll make you do some things that you never thought you would do. But okay, we're going to go and we're going to play the next one. Do the impossible.
I'm sorry to those men.
I'm going to ask, what made you choose this song? What was the energy in that song? Because it's totally different than the other one.
Yeah, so the funny thing is that when I wrote that one, so I have this thing, it's so weird, with me and songs where I can predict what is, maybe my subconscious knows, but my songs will predict what is about to happen in my relationship. It's very weird, but it happens all the time. Like, if I get a song and then it's about a breakup or something, then like a couple of weeks later we break up. Like,
weird. Oh, wow. Well, more positivity into your song so you can manifest accordingly.
Well, I mean, this is how I feel. I think my subconscious realizes how I feel before I'm ready to talk about it. You know what I mean? And so with this song, this is about my ex-fiance. And it's about that, but then it's also about doing the impossible. So when I start the song off and I say, walk on the water, and maybe I'll say, tell our sons and daughters that it's the only way, it's me saying, like, in order for us to be together, we got to do some impossible shit. This is the only way it's going to work, because there has been so much that has happened between us that it is going to literally take the impossible for us to, like, be together and love each other. And, like, if you do the impossible and, like, you promise to love me in the way that I need to be loved and deserve to be loved, then, like, we can put these haters in their place and we can really do this. And then we tell our future sons and our future daughters, like, this is how you love. This is how you stay together. Like, this is how you create a family and things like that. But then a piece of this song is not just that, a piece of this song. So it's like a love letter. And then a piece of it is also a love letter to myself, because then it's just about doing the impossible, period. It's not even about just in this relationship. And so when I sang the song, I was my engineer, who I love, Dan the Man. I love Dan the Man. Like, if y'all want an engineer who's going to really have you tapping into like the most authentic parts of yourself while you're creating, then you need to get with Dan the Man, like, straight up. And I will give you his information. Anyone who wants it, you come find me and I will redirect you to every person I talked about tonight.
I see.
Frankie, Dan the Man. Like, I literally only work with people who I would highly recommend. Like, literally every person that I'm recommending, if Beyonce came to me and was like, listen, your career is on the line. I need an engineer. I need a voice teacher. I need a guitar player. I would recommend all of them with my eyes closed and know that now my career is about to go to the next level because I have just recommended the best of the best. That's how I feel about these people. Nonetheless, back to the story at hand. Dan was like, he was so aligned with me with this, but he was like, he told me to sing to different versions of myself. And I think I was already doing that, but then he told me to do it. And so it was crazy that I was thinking that way, and then he confirmed it, coached me in that moment to tell me to sing, to pick a version of myself to sing to. So sometimes I was singing to my 5-year-old self. Sometimes I was singing to my 14-year-old self. Sometimes I was singing to, like, my 25-year-old self. And, like, telling that, and I almost felt like I was, like, in that moment, I was doing something energetically to where I was sending frequencies to those versions of myself in the past so that they would know that it's going to work out and not to give up so that I could be the me that I am right now. It was really a strange, interesting thing, but I felt like if time is really not linear, if it's not linear like they say it is, and, like, time is all going on at the same, like I'm 36, but I'm also, like, 5 years old in another universe, and I'm also, like, 24 in another universe, and I'm also, like, 16 in another universe. Like, then it means that there's things that I can do now so that I can be who I am today, but I got to get those messages to those versions of myself, and I felt like this song was me getting that message to myself. Because I had premonitions of myself when I was younger. Like, the first premonition that I ever had of myself was crazy. I was 11 years old, and I saw myself in the future. I saw a future version of myself. They weren't, like, making music or anything, but I just saw me, like, the older version of myself. And there was, like, some version of myself that did look like that me that I saw. The hair is slightly different because obviously, like, I couldn't predict what my hair was going to be, but my hair is slightly different. There was, like, a version of me that actually looked like this person. And then I was like, oh, I knew one day that I was going to have natural hair and, like, that I was going to be vegetarian. And it wasn't because it was, like the vegetarian part, whenever I was vegetarian, which I was for, like, probably, like, 8 years or something like that. Like, I just was like, oh, yeah, one day I'm going to just be that. And I just did. And then I was like, one day I'm going to have this big afro. And, like, I did. Like, I just saw versions of me throughout time. And I don't know why. Maybe it was me trying to give me a message to be like, hey, this is what we're doing later. I don't even know. It's very weird. So, yeah, I feel like this song was me getting messages to my future self and past self. Yeah, because needless to say, me and my ex-fiance got back together.
Oh, so you're currently with him now?
Yeah. Oh, and when nice. When I finished this song, we were not even talking. And we had not talked for 3 years. We had not spoken to each other for 3 years. And, like, not too long after I actually finished this song, he reached out to me. It was the craziest thing. That's why I say, like, my music is, like, for myself, it, like, does some, mm-hmm. it, like, predicts
some
things.
Stuff.
Yeah, oh, so even though at the time.
Music, the prediction. A mind music
right.
with the prediction.
Yeah, it, like, predicts my life. It's crazy because, like, when I first wrote it, we broke up not too long, like, months before. And then when I finished it, we got back together. That's crazy.
When you first wrote it, well, not that when you first wrote it, you wrote it under the Evil song. And then you
fixed
it. And the impossible. That's my theory.
Right. Yeah. Because I did write those songs around the same time. Like, when I started Evil Ways the second time was around the same time that I did do The Impossible. It's crazy. Yeah, life is crazy. This whole project is crazy. And I'm still learning so much about myself.
Through it all. So,
yeah.
How do you put your tracks in order? Do you put them in order when you actually written them? Or you put them in order of how you feel, or you keep all the same topics together, or you mix up the topics? How do you put them in order?
You know what's so crazy? I am big on how an album is sequenced, because how an album is sequenced is so important. Like, the order that an album is in is so important to, like, mm-hmm. the experience of the album. And... that's why I said I'm getting some, like, divine intervention on my project, because that, like, when I made this project, so I always, when I first made Evil Ways back in 2016, the first version of it, I always had it spelled with three threes instead of an E. It was three threes. I always had it like that, and I never knew why, because I don't have a special connection to nine. You know what I mean? Three times three is nine. And I don't have a special connection to nine in any way. So I was like, why am I doing this? But I just always left it that way. I thought it looked cool. Whatever. We're going to get back to that in a second. Just put a pin in that part. Just keep that in mind. And so Roland, I felt like that was my first single. I needed to start my album with Roland. I felt like it would kind of make sense to start it with Hello. But I was like, nah, if somebody's going to hear me for the first time, the first song I would want them to hear is Roland, because that kind of encompasses what you're about to get into. Like, it's smooth, you're going to get a little neo-so, you're going to get some softness, but we're about to talk about some real stuff at the same time. And I felt like it was a nice way to start the album. Then the next song I get into is Hello. And I feel like Hello and Roland sonically are like sister songs. Like, they would be on the same playlist. And so, but then also that's the beginning of the love story. So then right after following that, it starts with My Grandmother Talking, which is number three. That's crazy. I just thought about that. Threes are very important to me. So her first introduction is actually on the third track.
Okay.
You see how I'm, like, unpacking this stuff and I'm, like, figuring this stuff out? And so... I'm going through and I'm listening to her talk about my grandfather. And so in Hello, I say, would you give me a ring? You know what I mean. And when I'm talking about a ring, it's basically like a double entendre, because it's talking about ring, like calling me, because the song's called Hello, but it's also like ring, mm-hmm. like engagement, like married, like, are you serious about me or not? And so it goes from that to, like, my grandmother talking about my grandfather and how they broke up and she gave him his ring back. And it was like, I couldn't even make this up, how it was like the story was coming together. And then it went into Before You Let Go, which is about a breakup. And then after Before You Let Go, my grandma goes into an interlude about her and my grandfather getting back together. and then it goes into make love. So that's like a reconciliation. And then, and I felt like make love and before you let go are also like sonically sister songs. So it just is making sense. And then make love has that rock guitar solo on there. So now that's kind of prepping you to go into maybe, which is all live instrumentation. And then maybe is like very somber, heavy song, meaty, meaty song. And that song is followed by Evil Ways, which takes you all the way up. Like energetically, it's like heightened energy. And then I don't want to leave people with heightened energy. And to conclude my whole thing, which is do the impossible, which is no matter how old you are, no matter what you're doing, you can do anything you want to do. I have to end it on do the impossible because that's my whole purpose. Is to tell people they can do the impossible. So then it ended with that. And then we ended with the prayer, and the prayer seals the deal because whenever I asked my grandmother to pray for me, I was asking her to pray for me whenever I was making Roland, which is the very first song on the album. And I said, I want to help people who battle with depression and addiction. And that's why she goes, oh, that's the right. She says, oh, that's the right desire to have. And she prays for me because she realizes in that moment, the reason why I want to make music is because I want to help people. And so her prayer carried me throughout this whole entire process, throughout the whole entire album, throughout my whole life, that, you know, like her praying for me carried me through that. And so I wanted to end it with that because that prayer, that prayer is what helped me get to where I'm at now. And I wanted people to also have that for themselves because my grandma used to pray for everybody. She had a prayer list, a literal prayer list. And I used to think, like, I was only calling and asking for my friends to be on the prayer list. But, like, apparently all of us would do that. And she never told us to do that. We just innately knew that we would be like, oh, we just knew she had a list. And we just knew to put people on it. She would pray for everybody. And so for me, it was like a good way to add to her legacy of who she was as a prayer warrior. By now, she's able to pray for anybody. Anyone who's listening to this is like, this prayer is for you too. It's not for just for me. This is for anyone who hears this prayer. If you need a grandmother's prayer, you have it. And so that's why it's sequenced the way it is. That's a long explanation, but that's why.
So that right there gives the story of your journey.
Yeah, exactly.
In the order of how you put your songs, that gives a picture of what was going on, and it gives you that traveling train ride that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And then you hear, you know, you crack the window and you hear of the train going faster and slowing down. The train switching tracks, you hear the outside noise, you hear the people chattering, all of that summed up what you just said, the great surrender, which gives you a song of the train ride and the traveling. See how I just put all of that together, all of that. Wow.
Yeah, it literally is the story of my life. It literally is the story of my life.
Right. Wow. It's amazing. And already 2 hours is over.
I know, that's crazy.
Yes. See, this is why you can't take your time coming back to the show, because you got to cram everything in. There's still like a whole bunch of other questions, you know, to ask, but that's okay. We can, you know, have conversation in the group. And for those who want to, communicate with Imani, she's in the group. You can follow her, but we're going to get to the point where she's going to give you all of her information. So maybe you don't want to do it on the group. You may want to do it offline, but we're going to get, as we're closing out, we're going to get all her information, and you can reach out to her on your own. Well, y'all know how we do it. We always give congratulations, graduations, whatever it is you're celebrating, a breakup, a get back together, a maybe, you're pregnant, you thought you was pregnant, whatever. we give shout outs about that on this show. So I want to say happy birthday, Sheila Finklia. Stacy Moss, John, Titiana. I know she's going to laugh. That's how I call my niece. Her name is Tiana, but I have to go Titiana. Coach Malcolm Davis, happy birthday, Brandy. DJ Brooklyn Riches in the bloop. We want to say happy birthday to you. Aaron, Lolly, and D Holmes, happy birthday to each and every one of you. Also, congratulations to Amani on dropping album, The 11th Hour. And, you know, over this past weekend, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, I heard a bunch of sirens. And when I say sirens, I mean all sirens, ambulance, fire trucks, police. It was just noise. And I heard helicopters, and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? It was just this particular night, things was running rampant in Brooklyn. And things wasn't near me. They wasn't close to me, but they were near. Because the emergency services went past my way, where I don't know if you saw on the news where a guy was flirting with these twin sisters, and they didn't take heed to the flirting, so he got upset and he left the store. But then he came back and he stabbed them. One of the sisters didn't make it, and the other one got stabbed in the arm. Then there was one where a three-year-old baby was found dead in the house. Then there was one, somebody got shot. I was like, this is why I hate listening to the news, because there's so much negativity going on. And I was like, wow, that's probably what all the noise that I was hearing that particular night going on. And here I am in my sleep and slumber, and God spared me. And others are losing their lives. So, you know, everyone, you know, I say all of that to say I extend condolences to the families who, you know, have lost a loved one during this past weekend and even today. Also, if you want to be a part of the WAP, which is the Women All Panel, where the women just chit-chat and just share 2 hours of straight conversation, no music played, or if you want to be on the AMP, which is the all-men panel, and the men do the same thing, and I just narrate every now and again, you know, call for, say something, just to let them know that, you know, I'm still here, but I give them the platform and let them talk. And women, if you want to know something, let the men talk. Put the men together, let them talk, and shut your mouth. You will get everything you need to know, because they're going to tell you in their conversation. Well, you know, thank you to each and every one of you for your love, support, and encouragement. You know, without you, there will be no show, because for y'all listeners out there and for the people who just listen on, just in, don't engage or sometimes engage either via texting, inboxing, but just to show the support of the show, I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. Amani, what would you like to tell the listening audience?
I do want to say this, like, you know, I'm a, I try to advocate where I can, because I have lost someone to gun violence. That's what Roland was about, you know, on my second verse. I lost a friend to gun violence, and I do want to say this. I was at this opening of this office for like an anti-gun violence organization, or I just think it was just like anti-violence organization. I can't remember the name, but I do want to say this. There are organizations out there that are helping people, and there's also that have been victims of gun violence, or their families have been. And there's also an organization, I want to say it's called On the Other Side. I want to say it's based out of Harlem. I'm not sure, but they help try to rehabilitate and heal families of people who have been the person who's committed the crime. And I think a lot of when people are violent like that, and it's not to excuse it in any way, shape, form, or fashion, but people they're seeking something. They're looking for something. They need something. And likely they need love. They need acceptance. They need community. They need something more. Anything that would drive you to do something so violent, I can't even imagine what your life must have been for you to even be able to go as far as to do something like that. And so with that being said, I just want to encourage everyone to show compassion. When you're walking down the street, when you're talking to somebody, whatever, show compassion to each other. Like we said earlier today, a lot of what's been going on has been very divisive. And I think it's important for us to connect with each other. Like right now I'm doing a social experiment with myself where if I'm in public, I don't have headphones on. I'm on the train, I'm walking down the street, I'm at work. If I am in public, I'm not going to have headphones in. And I have had, just since Saturday when I decided to do this social experiment, people have been talking to me, and I'm wondering how much people have talked to me before, but I didn't hear them.
Right.
I mean, except like a couple of times a day, a few times a day, someone is just randomly talking to me and being nice and being kind and being sweet. And so I'm just saying all that to say, like, let's seek healthy connections and let's, you know, go out our way if we can to be kind to each other. Because there's already so much going on, y'all. Like, let's love each other. Let's be kind to each other and let's love ourselves. So I just want to end with that. And, you can find me, you know, on all the social medias. If you're listening, then you probably know how to get to, you know, the Lawless website and such. And so you'll know how to spell my name. It's IMVNI. And you can find me on Instagram, IMVNI.music. You can find me on my website, IMVNI.com. And please, like, if you heard anything that resonates with you, please reach out to me. If you like my music, if you like my album, please buy the album. It costs money to create things, and I want to continue to create things. So please buy the project. And you can buy it on my website.
Well,
name your own price.
There y'all go. She gave it to you. She gave you all the information. And if you forgot anything, you always can reach out to me, and I'll make sure you get the information that you need. Remember, look, LSO will be coming to you each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in via phone at 646-478-5209, even if it's just to listen in. And don't forget to tell a friend and invite them as well. If you're looking for a platform to promote your brand, call or message LSO at 718-666-1336 to find out how you can become a sponsor of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. Also, Lawless Radio started on the premise of TL, the chairman, with his vision and his promise to support your local come-up. So if you want your music played on Lawless Radio, go to the website and submit your music. And tonight we heard music all exclusively from Imani. She sent it directly to me, and I uploaded and we played it. Let y'all support for one another. I need y'all to go and flood the airwaves and get Imani's album, and I'm going to go and do the same as well. And you can order LSO merchandise at treatsandthingsLSO.com, and you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSO Treats. In order to get an autographed copy, you have to come directly to my website. In closure, it's always a pleasure spending my Monday evenings with each and every one of you, and I thank each and every one of you for sharing your time with us tonight. Y'all could have been doing anything else, but you was here with Imani and I with the topic, Imani, Getting Back to My Purpose. So tonight's affirmation I'm going to leave you with, your gift comes from your passion. Your vision comes from that passion. You think it can be done. As the thought was just the blueprint, make it happen and start today. Pieces of advice: through music, you can express yourself. Music is an outlet. Music is therapy. And through that all, be patient with yourself. Being patient with yourself gives you time to unravel everything that's going on and dissect it piece by piece. Each and every day you wake up, it's a blessing and it's a precious moment. So continue on that moment. Smile. because your smile is very contagious and it may just brighten up someone else's day. Live happily in your moment and don't accept a piece of something just to have peace. Know that you matter. Elevate yourself. You are great. You are strong. You are needed. You are loved. LSO and Imani would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in for 2 hours of conversation with us. You could have been doing anything else, but you gave us 2 hours of your time, and that's something you can never get back. And just know that we are grateful. You are invited to continue on this radio journey and join each and every Monday night. And don't forget to pay it forward. Your candle light will not go by lighting someone else's candle from your stem. We can all shine brightly and in no competition. If God's will, I'll talk to you next week. Stay prayed up. Be careful and stay safe. My hashtag is my LSO journey and hashtag love yourself organically. Imani, what is your hashtag?
Imani means face.
There you go. Everyone, enjoy your night. Enjoy your week. Yours in sweetness, LSO, and the infamous Imani. What to say, Imani? Come on now.
Thank you.
But y'all know I can't sing, but I'll be singing. Have a good night, everyone. Until next week.
Good night, y'all.
Buenas noches.